from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
On Register Radio this week, Jeanette DiMello talks with Pat Gohn. She's the author of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious. It's a book about the gift of Catholic womanhood. And in the show's second half, Dan Burke gets a status report on the Year of Faith from Father Gino Silva. He's a New Jersey priest who now lives in Rome and works for the Pontifical Council for the New Evangelization. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register, and Jeanette DiMello, Editor-in-Chief of the Register. Hi, Jeanette.
Hello, Tom.
Our first guest today is Pat Gohn. She's a popular Catholic writer, speaker, and host of the podcast Among Women. Her work often focuses on living the Catholic faith in daily life, as well as women's spirituality. Pat has led parish-based ministries for over 30 years. Today she's here to talk with us about her new book, Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious, Celebrating the Gift of Catholic Womanhood. Pat, welcome to Register Radio.
It's great to be here.
Pat, it's Jeanette. I'm thankful to have you on the show today, especially since we're talking about the gift of Catholic womanhood just in time for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to you and to all the mothers in our audience.
Thank you very much, Jeanette. It's a wonderful time of year, for sure.
Now, your book has a wonderful title, Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious. Tell us about those three powerful words and why you chose them to describe women.
Well, thank you very much. Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious has a subtitle. It's celebrating the gift of Catholic womanhood. And what I see the book doing is introducing a conversation with women about their dignity, their gifts, and their mission in the world. So each of those words speak to one part of that. We have a blessed dignity, we have beautiful gifts, and we have a bodacious, a most excellent and remarkable mission as women.
And what led you to write this book?
Well, it's always nice to be asked to write a book. I have to say, I was contacted by an editor at Ave Maria Press who had been reading my columns online and elsewhere in print, and also following the Among Women podcast that I've had since 2009. So I do a lot of women's ministry, both in local churches and in different dioceses. So this outreach to women really was of interest to them, and they wanted to know if I had a story to tell, and as it turned out, I had a work in progress, and that's how we came up with the book.
This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Pat Gohn about her book, Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious. Now, Pat, the foreword of your book was written by Terry Polakovic. She's the founder of Endow, an educational program for women that began as a study of the teaching of Blessed Pope John Paul II, his teaching on women. Now, I'm on the board of Endow. It's celebrating 10 years this year. And as I read your book, I just kept thinking about Pope John Paul's writings. And I just imagine he must have been an inspiration for your book.
Well, certainly I have to admit to that. I've been a fan of John Paul's writings probably for 25 years. When I was a young mom in the home, I began to read some of his writings, especially his writings on women. There's a document called Mulieris Dignitatum on the dignity and vocation of women. And there's also the letter to women that he wrote in the middle 90s before the UN's conference on women in Beijing. Those things had a big influence on me when I was a stay-at-home mom and when I was really enjoying the fullness of the mothering vocation.
Mm-hmm. Now tell me, you tell so many stories in your book. It's really just very rich in storytelling, and these stories bring home points about discovering the gift of womanhood from a Catholic perspective. Can you share one of your stories with us here today?
I'd be happy to do that. Since we were talking about motherhood and we're coming up on Mother's Day, I thought maybe I would just talk about a little bit about my own initiation into motherhood and the idea that I really had a tough time with my early pregnancies. And my friends would call me the vomit queen. I know women who've gone through pregnancies with that beautiful pregnancy glow, but my glow was green. I was always green around the gills. I had a really hard time with my early pregnancies. that was really hard, of course, the first time through when you don't know really what you're doing. And I had a lot of morning sickness. I was kind of sick morning, noon, and night throughout the day. And it was very hard for me to really experience some of the beauty of maternity from the vantage point of this chronic malaise that I was feeling in the course of a pregnancy. And I have to say that I was a little bit discouraged. I was just trying to cope with being pregnant, and I, you know, had a faith with Jesus and a regular prayer life, and I really felt that during that time, you know, Jesus was urging me, if you will, to maybe talk to his mother about these things. And he sent me a friend of mine who was a little more experienced in the mothering journey, you know, someone who was had a few children already, was a little more experienced in her role as a mom. And she came and visited me one day, and she was a real encouragement to me, not only because of her friendship, but also because of her example. And she gave me this little tiny prayer book with prayers, you know, to Jesus and through the Blessed Mother, prayers for motherhood. And that little book became a lifeline to me. And I have to say, I didn't really grow up with a strong devotion to Mary, even though I, you know, went to Catholic schools and things like that. She was not somebody who was a focal point in my prayer life or someone who I knew a lot about. So this was kind of an initiation for me to get to know the Blessed Mother during these difficult times. And, you know, like I said, I had really was used to going to Jesus, you might say, in my prayers. But what I found out in the course of these difficult pregnancies, especially that first one, was that I really needed some girl talk. I really needed that spiritual voice. And I think Mary really helped me. I really became more open to praying the rosary. I became more open to understanding that Mary had a real wonderful influence in her son Jesus' life. And I really began to experience being spiritually mothered, not only from this friend of mine who was a little bit older and more experienced in the role of being a mom, but also being spiritually mothered by Mary. And I have to say, it was a real turning point for me in the spiritual life to bring Mary into my life as a spiritual mother.
That's a great story. You know, last week, as I was preparing for this conversation with you, I was reading through your book, and I also went online to your website, patgone.net, and there I saw your podcast, and I also saw these short podcasts that you did about the book itself. So you were doing some reading of the book and explanation of the book. And I just randomly chose one of those, Pat, and the one I chose was on spiritual motherhood. And it was just great because I'm not a mom yet. And there are a lot of people, I'm sure, who are listening who aren't mothers in the physical sense. And so tell us what this means, this spiritual motherhood.
Well, it is my mission in life to spread the goodness of spiritual motherhood, because all women are called to be spiritual mothers, all women. And I have to say, it is a very challenging call, because we're really called to imitate Mary, if you will, in the way that we mother others. You see, every woman, by virtue of being created feminine, by virtue of her womanly design, does have some of these gifts that I talk about in the book, one of which is maternity. All women, even if they never become a biological mother, they are predisposed to this intuition of maternity just by virtue of their design, just the way God created us with a heart and a womb that's under our heart. This is part of the gift of being a woman, is this maternal sensibility that all women carry with them. And because we're predisposed to this, part of our mission in the world is not only to possibly become biological mothers and physically mother and parent and raise children in the world, but also to really be spiritual mothers to other people. And that's using our gifts to serve other people, to listen to other people, to bring a gift of life to other people. It's really like bearing Christ to the world in and through who we are in our persons, bringing that life-giving love to other people. So that's the idea of spiritual motherhood. And we have a perfect example of that in Mary.
This is Jeanette DeMello with Register Radio. I'm speaking with Pat Gohn about her book, which talks about Catholic womanhood. Now, Pat, on the ncregister.com website, we have a commentary called Mother's Day Gender Matters. It's by Pia DiSeleni. And something that she wrote about reminds me of your book. Pia talks about the differences between the sexes and how it's been diluted, this difference, in our egalitarian way of approaching gender. In the second part of your book, you talk about the uniqueness of women, the unique beauty of women. You talk about four dynamic gifts that women have. Maternity is one of them. Tell us about the other gifts of women and their uniqueness.
Well, I read Dr. Pia's article, and it was really a home run, so I definitely recommend people check it out and find that link perhaps in the show notes. Women have four qualities, and I have to say that Blessed John Paul II wrote about these in a lot of non-specific ways. He never really grouped them these ways, but a lot of us over time who've written about it have grouped them into these four ideas, these four gifts. I call them gifts because I think God gave them to us, and he wants us to use them to be gifts in the world for other people. But those four things that I talk about are these universal gifts, these universal qualities that all women have. The first one is receptivity. And again, if you want to think of the example of Mary, who was very receptive to God's will in her life, to God's love in her life, she gives this giant yes to God when she says that she will be the mother of Jesus. The church calls it a fiat. Let it be to me according to your word, Lord. That's saying yes to love. So this idea of receptivity is this gift that women have to be able to receive another person, to be able to love them in a way that holds them close to your heart, in a way that is very loving and yet nurturing. This receptivity of the human person is one of the great gifts of womanhood. Another gift is generosity. And I talk about in that chapter what it means to make a gift of yourself to God and to another person. The third gift is sensitivity. Now, that's sometimes a gift that gets a bad rap. You know, we think that sensitivity is crying when we're watching a chick flick or crying at weddings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's an emotional side to women that we have. But the gift of sensitivity is much deeper than that. And John Paul talks about how women really acknowledge the person, and they're able to see another person with their hearts. And I think that's a beautiful quality of women, the way they look at other people, is they can kind of see past the veneer to the person beyond, you know, below the surface, if you will. And, of course, that fourth gift that we've already touched on, the beautiful gift of maternity.
Pat, it's been such a pleasure to be with you today. Thanks for being beautiful and bodacious, and you are certainly a blessing to us.
Thank you. It's been great to be here.
When we return, we'll have an update from the Vatican on the Year of Faith. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Michael Warsaw, Chief Executive of EWTN and publisher of the National Catholic Register. We're in a time in history like no other, and our fight for religious freedom and the need for the new evangelization, it's essential to stay connected via the faithful Catholic content delivered by the Register. We've finally been able to help realize Mother Angelica's dream. She always wanted a newspaper as part of EWTN's media apostolate. Why? Because there's an important catechetical opportunity at the intersection of faith and culture. Since the 1920s, the Register has been advancing the truth of the Magisterium. This valuable resource will help you to better understand the faith and deepen your relationship with our Lord. Join the growing ranks of Register subscribers today and access the one source of leading voices and opinions concerning the issues that matter most to you.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner, or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DiMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Father Gino Silva is with us. He is a priest of the Diocese of Paterson, New Jersey. Up until July of 2012, Father Silva was the Episcopal Vicar for Evangelization for the Paterson Diocese. He had spent the past 4 years creating a Catholic Center for Evangelization under the direction of Bishop Arthur Saratelli. Now, last fall, he took up residence in Rome to serve as an official for the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of the New Evangelization. One particular new venture that Father Silva has been in charge of is a Mass for the English-speaking pilgrims every Sunday at the Church of Santo Spirito in Sassia, which is located very close to the Vatican. Father Gino, welcome to Register Radio.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Father Gino, it's great to have you. Glad that you flew all the way in from Rome to be with us. What I wanted to start really was with your passion for the new evangelization, reading about your work in the Register. We've covered you a number of times in articles about your work in New Jersey before you went to Rome. Where does that passion come from?
Well, thanks for the question. Most of my work as a younger priest was with teenagers, young people, both as a teacher, a chaplain, and a high school principal. Over the years, I saw these young people on fire with the faith, and they'd go on the retreat weekends. I'd speak to them 5 years after graduation and say, okay, so what parish you belong to? Where you get married? And they go, Father, you know, after graduation, you know, I don't really go to church anymore. And I said, but you're getting married. Oh, well, I'm not getting married in the church. And it was something very personal. I kept thinking, well, what is it that we're doing as a church that's going to be able to outreach and continually draw this generation Y into the practice of the faith and into an ever-deepening personal relationship with Christ? And so, for me, my passion for the new evangelization really came on a very personal level with these students that I felt like their spiritual father. And then years later, I wasn't able to find a way to reconnect them. And so then when Bishop Saratelli said to me, okay, you're gonna leave the school, you're gonna go get a degree, and you're gonna come back and build this center. And he said, well, this is what we'll do together. We'll think this through, we'll pray this through, but this is what's exciting about it, is that it hasn't been done. And so that's really where the passion came from. And to be honest, just wanting people to know Jesus Christ. I mean, that's why I became a priest. And the new evangelization is so exciting because it's finding new ways to tell the same story. Mm-hmm. And how do we do that in a way that resonates with people today who really have been deafened to the sound of the holy and the divine because of the secular banging and the relative clanging? And so how can we as a church help to open their ears to what their heart is already longing for?
This is Dan Burke with Register Radio. We're here with Father Gino Silva from the Pontifical Council for Promoting the New Evangelization, talking about how to reach people for Christ. Last year, in an interview with the Register, you indicated that there were two levels of evangelization, one to the faithful and then to those in the secular world. Can you tell us about the emphasis and importance of each?
Yeah. I think the new evangelization always has to be sensitive to the particular group that it's outreaching to. So, for example, the people that have distanced themselves from the church purposely said, for whatever reason, I'm stepping away, is a group. The people who are just apathetic, the people for whom God has just become non-important for life.
They've just faded out.
Yeah, just kind of faded out. And yeah. I think that's the largest group. Then you've got the group who have never heard the message of Christ for whatever reason. And then you've got the group that practices the faith every day. How is it that we feed them and continue to nourish them? Mm-hmm. So I look at it now in terms of maybe four groups so that we can come up with creative, dynamic, passionate ways to reach them in a way that they can receive, because it's got to be about the receptivity. But there's one, this is just personally, for me there's a constant thread through all of these four groups, is that it's really about the one-on-one a lot of times. Yeah. I mean, I get so concerned that the new evangelization is going to get reduced to a program. It's just another program that we do. No, it's the grace and vocation of being church, the Catholic Church, but it's who we are as baptized Christians. In my own experience, I've tried so many different things. And then when I talk to people, I say, yeah, so why are you back to the church? Or why are you coming to this program that we're doing at St. Paul's? Or why are you here? Well, because I had a really good conversation with a friend of mine. My friend's husband died of cancer, and I wanted to know how she was able to do that. And then this person having the openness to share what it is that's making her get out of bed and find meaning even though she lost her husband, sharing that with that person that there's already, because remember, our faith is incarnational. It's relational by definition.
That's right. Exactly.
So I just believe so much so in helping Catholics who practice the faith. Number one, understand the importance, that the duty that they have to speak to others about the faith. But do so in a way that is relationally respectful, so that it's not you're not imposing anything. You're just kind of saying, well, this is who Christ is for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, making sure that there's something to welcome them to, so that this is where the church has to have new programs. So, for example, you know, you're saying to somebody, well, this is who Jesus Christ is for me, even though I lost my husband. Why don't you come with me to Mass on Sunday? But then when they go to Mass, they have to find that there's an evangelizing liturgy.
Yes.
That there's a liturgy that welcomes
yes.
them.
Yes.
That is sensitive to them, is saying, thank you for being here, and gives them the truths of the faith.
Yeah.
And gives them the welcome of Christ.
Great. Fantastic. It's very exciting listening to you. I used to go door to door as a Southern Baptist before I converted to Catholicism, and I do love one-on-one evangelization. It's so powerful to meet people where they are, and even to share your own struggles and difficulties yeah. with your faith and in yeah. life, and how Christ is present to you.
You know, we talked about this last week on Register Radio when we had somebody on from Franciscan University, mm-hmm. and what they are trying to do. It seems like you're really going down the same path, because they are saying, yes, what do you do once you get past that mountaintop experience or that honeymoon experience?
Exactly.
How do you keep it going Monday after Tuesday, after Wednesday, after Thursday?
Exactly. And so even with when people who are being received into the church and receive the sacraments, what are we doing after they've gone through the initiation program in the parish? What are we doing to continue to feed them, inspire them? And I think what's got to happen, though, is, and this is when I have the honor of speaking to new pastors on the forming an evangelizing parish, how much of the attention in the parish is being spent on the people who don't come? And saying to the people who do come, okay, we can't worry just about ourselves here and what our next program is going to be. How do we move to this missionary mindset of being a church, that each one of us, you know, we could focus all about, okay, we want to have this program, we want to do this, but what are we doing for the 99% of the people who live in the parish boundaries that do not
that never
know Christ?
Hear, that
right.
never get the invitation.
They never get the invitation.
Well, Pope Francis, I think, recently pointed out that a church that is focused, as you've described, is really become sick when you're internally focused. But before we run out of time, there's a reason you flew here from Rome.
Okay.
And that's to talk about the work of the Pontifical Council for promoting new evangelization. Okay. There's some important events that are happening to support the Year of Faith with the Pope, with Eucharistic Adoration Worldwide. Tell us a bit about what's going on. It's very exciting.
Yeah, thanks. The Pope Benedict had announced the Year of Faith, and the whole idea was that the Year of Faith was going to be the occasion, the opportunity for people to rediscover and to kind of reinforce the importance of faith in life. And really, the Year of Faith is placing Christ at the center of the new evangelization. And so in a very real way, the Year of Faith is kind of accelerating and impelling the mission of the new evangelization. And what has been done is that we want to have, as the Year of Faith, universal events in Rome in the presence of the Holy Father, as well as local dioceses and parishes doing a lot of different initiatives. So there are a number of events that we're hosting in Rome, the Pontifical Council for New Evangelization for the Year of Faith. This past weekend we had the celebration of confraternities. Next weekend we have the movements. Then on June 15th and 16th we have the celebration of Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, Cardinal Burke will be giving the keynote for the educational conference on the Gospel of Life and the New Evangelization. Robert Royal and Francis Beckwith will come over to speak. So people can register and see all the programs.
So who can come to these events?
They're open. We want to make sure the universal church is thank you very much. The whole world is welcome. So people can register on our Year of Faith website, which is www.annusfidei.va. That's A-N-N-U-S Fidei, F-I-D-E-I dot V-A.
We'll make sure to get that up on ncregister.com
right,
for our radio summary at EWTN.
Sure. And if anybody misses this, they can always send us an email, radio@EWTN.com. We'll make sure to pass that information
thank
on.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
And for Corpus Christi, Pope Francis is going to be presiding at a holy hour at 5 o'clock in St. Peter's Basilica. And every bishop has been asked to have simultaneously synchronized in their own cathedrals a holy hour. So it's going to be incredible. We were receiving emails and letters from Bishop of Ethiopia, Scandinavia, Papua New Guinea, of they're doing it at 2 in the morning, and then as many parishes. So the whole idea of being a universal church in front of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, it's just so exciting.
Has this ever been done before? A synchronized?
Not that I know of. And I'll say not that I know of or I've heard. I've asked the question and nobody has seemed to. So this is, I mean, talk about what a spiritual universal sharing to be united with our bishops, with the successor of Peter, with Pope Francis, in the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist.
Fantastic. Well, Father Silva, it's just amazing what's been going on in your world. I pray that your contagion for Christ is something that spreads virally in Rome and around the world. I think that, you know, there's so many people starving spiritually and dying and suffering in the world, not even understanding that the reason for which they were brought into existence was to enter into a love relationship with Jesus Christ.
Bottom line.
You emanate that love, and we're grateful for you and hope that it just continues to proliferate throughout the church.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your ministries and your missions, because we're doing the same thing, brothers.
Thank you so much. Don't forget, you can listen to the show again by going to ncregister.com to look for the picture of the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks again for joining us this time on Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.